And we're going to read one verse together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. Get yourself a King James Bible. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 17. Ready? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? I want you to notice that last part in that verse there. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? I'm going to talk to you about a very sensitive subject this morning. I'm going to talk to you about the subject of suicide. I'm going to talk to you about suicide. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for a King James Bible. Thank you for the truth that you've given to us. Thank you for an old-fashioned church, dear God, an old-fashioned group of people that believe thy word and love you and love people. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you bless now, speak to our hearts. And I pray, dear God, that there wouldn't be any disruptions. I pray that we wouldn't be a disruption. And Lord, I pray we'd focus on the word of God this morning. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, this is a very sensitive subject, and I'm going to try to be as delicate but as forthright as I possibly can be together. And this is kind of a sermon that affects everyone, and if you think it does not affect you, then you do not realize how God can use you. Growing up in the 60s and the 70s in America, I never one time heard about suicide. Now, you think about that. In the middle of the 60s, the rebellious 60s, the potheads, the Beatles, Elvis, LSD, rock and roll, sex and rock and roll, and drugs. I never one time heard, I was in a cocoon, I'll grant you that. I was a little sheltered, thank God. But not one time did I hear about suicide. Not one time in school, going to a government school, did I hear about suicide. Not one time in my family, relatives, friends, neighbors, did I ever hear about suicide. Not once growing up did I ever hear in the news or read in the news. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just saying it was so uncommon. I never heard about it. So for the first 20, almost 30 years of my life, I never heard of anyone in any way even remotely connected with me, my family, friends who had committed suicide. But then, last 25, 30 years, like been an avalanche of news articles, news reports. And I am sure that in a crowd this size, I am sure that everybody in this room has either heard of somebody, knows somebody, related to somebody, has come in contact with somebody who has either committed suicide or a family member of theirs has committed suicide. It's an epidemic in America. I believe too often, because it's such a subject, a very sensitive subject, we've almost sort of swept it under the rug for obvious reasons. I don't think it's proper to bring it up in most instances. I don't believe parents are careful enough about what they talk about with an earshot of their children. I believe that people do not realize the damage that is being done when they partake in gossip and how many lives and relationships are ruined in the process of gossiping. There are some things that are best left unsaid. There are some things that should never be mentioned. There are some conversations that should never be said. Ephesians 5:12 says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." If we were living in a more godly society that had some godliness and righteousness and holiness, this kind of subject would probably never be brought up. But alas, we are living in a very wicked and adulterous generation that has forsaken God. They've forsaken the King James Bible. And America is now reaping exactly what she has sowed. You can tell how wicked and evil this generation is by how many talk shows we have, How many TV programs that promote people to tell everything they know about their most secret desires and how bad their lives were and everything about their skeletons in their closets and the secret lives of their parents or grandparents, and everybody wants to broadcast that. That's why the vast majority of people today want to broadcast to everyone on Facebook and Snapchat and all those other kind of social media everything about their personal lives. They have no shame. They have no respect. They have no decency. They have no sense of what is right. We live in a death culture. The music promotes death. The movies promote death. The video games promote death. Hollywood promotes death. The war machine promotes death. Schools promote death. Abortion doctors promote death. Planned Parenthood promotes death. Our culture promotes death. Why? Because Satan is promoting death everywhere he can, using whatever means possible he can to kill as many people as possible that he possibly can. You must understand that Satan wants people to die. He wants you to die. He does not want people to get saved. He does not want people going to heaven. So the earlier he can kill people, the more people will end up in hell and miss heaven. The younger people die, the less opportunity they will have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he asked Jesus Christ to save their souls from hell. See, Satan hates you and wants to kill you. Jesus loves you and Jesus wants to save you. It's that simple. Life is that simple. Too many people try to complicate life. When you get your eyes off of Jesus, you put them on the world, on your problems, on your burdens, on your heartaches, on your sins, on your mistakes, on your errors, on your life. Everything else, instead of being on Jesus, you start to sink like Peter sank. I want to remind you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to remember that. Jesus is life. Satan is death. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is an epidemic today with suicides and drug overdoses and early deaths. Child sex abuse by pedophiles and sodomites. Children whose parents abandoned them. Children and teenagers who got involved with alcohol, drugs, and crime at an early age. People who have a speaking problem, can't speak right. People have a physical handicap. People have been mistreated. People have been falsely accused and falsely arrested and falsely convicted and falsely sentenced. Spoiled brats who grew up being selfish and full of themselves. Criminals who live a short life of crime, gambling, stealing, raping, killing. Beautiful and handsome people who are vain and full of themselves. Spouses whose partners have deserted them. They get fired from work, they have no job, and they cannot support their family. They have some terminal disease that will only make them deteriorate physically and become a burden to others. Well, God says comfort the feeble-minded. God says they're silly women. There are people that are mentally unstable. It is very rare that a mentally retarded person commits suicide. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm just saying it is very, very rare. As a matter of fact, I'm 60 years old, and I personally have not met any person who's mentally retarded who has committed suicide. And there's a reason for that. Because you have to be taught that suicide is an option, and you have to be taught that it's okay. You have to be indoctrinated about it, so much so that you feel comfortable talking about it and relating to it and allowing it to be an option. The more you talk about it, the more you know about it, the more you hear about it, the more government schooling does to brainwash you and poison your children's minds about it, the more it becomes normal in that person's mind. The same thing is true with homosexuality. It's a perversion. You have to be taught to think that it's normal. You have to be taught that there is nothing wrong with the sodomite lifestyle. It is abnormal in the animal kingdom for animals of the same sex to mate. I have never heard of any animal killing themselves because they were depressed or discouraged, or they lost a spouse, or they lost their home, or they lost their entire family, or because they got kicked out of somewhere. It never happens. It happens to man because man has pride and an ego that has been deflated and dejected and discouraged and depressed and discontented and demonized and deceived and destroyed emotionally and psychologically and even physically to the point of death. But every animal has the will to fight and to live. It is a natural thing to want to live. Did you ever bother, did you ever cross your mind that these people across the world are trying to die to come to America? Or they're trying to die to come to some Western civilized nation from some war-torn nation? They're trying to die to get, they're dying trying to get it here. But people who are already here, who are spoiled, rotten brats, who have everything given to them, everything handed to them, they're the ones that commit suicide. Did you ever notice the statistics I'm talking about? Poor people have a lesser tendency to commit suicide than richer people. You think about that for a second. Because the more you have, the more you can lose. You know, I was born with nothing and I still have most of it. We're too full of ourselves. We've gotten so much that when we lose it, we can't deal with reality. Where a person who's poor, doesn't have anything, they think about it less than you do. So you have to be taught that it's better just to kill yourself and end it all. And now today, while you're at it, why don't you take somebody out with you, preferably somebody you don't like. People have gone mad today. People have lost it. They are worshiping themselves as their own God. And when they come face to face with reality and realize that they, as their own God, cannot control every situation and every circumstance in life, they lose whatever little grasp they had on life and reality. They choose not to deal with it because of their ego and their pride, and they just check out as if that is the end. But what they don't realize is just the beginning of their eternity. A person that dies without Jesus Christ as their Savior will then begin the torments of hell for all eternity. Suicide is one of the worst things, if not the worst thing, a person can ever do. It's one of the most, if not the most, selfish things a person can ever do. They can't take the ridicule, the embarrassment, the loss, the cruelties of life, the mocking of people, and the list goes on and on. They have been taught to love themselves, put themselves first, take care of themselves first. And when people do that, they are being selfish. So when their life falls apart and their life has spiraled out of control, they cannot deal with the reality of facing others. They do the most despicable thing, and they do not care that they leave nothing but a mess of brokenhearted people that will never be able to properly deal with such a selfish act. My Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. The reason there is a lack of love today is because there is a lack of God today. People hate today because there is a vacuum that has been filled with hate. God has been taken out of your government schools. God's been taken out of anything in the government. God has been taken out of the homes. God's been taken out of the churches. God's been taken out of society, out of communications. And when you take God out, you take love out. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's that simple. The less people have love, the more people have hate. The more God you have, the more love you have. The less of God you have, the less love you have. The less love you have, the more hate, the more hatred you have. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. James chapter number 1 says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You go ahead and sin, and you think lightly of it. You know what you're doing? Sooner or later, you're going to pay the wages of that sin. And you're accumulating the wages of that sin. You say, well, I'm saved, Pastor. I'm talking to everybody this morning, saved and unsaved. My Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the more you sin, the closer you're getting to death. And you know what God said? He said, why shouldest thou die before thy time? That's what God said. In Philippians chapter number 1, Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul was concerned about others more than he was concerned about himself. A person who commits suicide is more concerned about themselves than they're concerned about others.
2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible says, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'd rather we be with Jesus, but it's God's will for me to be here until God takes me home. Not ahead of God's timing. They which live should not live hence, should not, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So what we're being taught in the government schools is to live for yourself. You're number one. Take care of yourself first. God says you got it completely opposite. You ought to live for God first, then others second, and yourself last. J-O-Y. That's how you get joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. What we've done, we put God last and ourselves first, and when we have time, we'll try to help somebody else. So when our lives deteriorate and our lives fall apart because we've set ourselves up as God, we check out. That's a selfish thing to do. I said selfish. Before Simeon died in Luke chapter number 2, he said, now, when he saw Jesus, when he brought Jesus to the temple, he said, now, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Hey, God's people are to depart in peace according to the very words of God Almighty. Not according to your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, and your decisions about being selfish. Jesus prayed in John 17, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus didn't pray for you to leave early. Jesus didn't pray for you to check out. Jesus prayed, this is what he said in John chapter 17, verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. But because they don't want to be kept from the evil, they spiral out of control. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 11. The Bible says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you die, listen to me good, the way you die is going to determine the entrance you make for all eternity. Let me repeat that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you show up to heaven, are they going to say, oh, here comes that quitter. He committed suicide. Here comes that quitter. Here's the one who ruined the name of Jesus Christ in the area where he lived. Here's the one that ruined and poisoned the minds of his family members and neighbors and coworkers and church people. What kind of entrance is going to be given to you when you get to heaven? The quitter? He loved himself more than he loved God. He loved himself more than he loved people. Revelation chapter 2 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's something about being faithful until the very day you die. Be faithful unto death. Jesus said, and I will give thee a crown of life. He said in Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. But we just want to throw in a towel and quit. We want to put up our hands and just surrender to the devil and say, he's won. The Bible says in Revelation 12, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. But the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Do you love Jesus more than your life? Do you love the word of God more than your life? Do you love others more than yourself? 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Ezekiel 18 says this. Pay attention, please. When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. When a person commits suicide, that's the only thing people are going to remember for the rest of their lives. They don't care about any good that he's done or she's done. They don't care how much they've helped other people. The fact that they did a selfish act as the last thing they did is what's going to be talked about for the rest of their lives. God even says that. You're wiping out everything good or anything good that you've ever done when you just check out because you're so selfish that you commit suicide because you care about yourself instead of others. Ezekiel 3, verse number 20, the Bible says, his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. You're going to flush it all down the toilet. Job 22, the Bible says, wicked men were cut down out of time. Yeah. You know what? You're listening too much to Billy Joel, who says only the good die young. First of all, that's a lie. Second of all, the statistics prove it completely opposite, ladies and gentlemen. But you listen to these hellish songs that the world sings because they hate God, and you're singing these songs, and you're partying, drinking, taking drugs, and taking your liquor, and you're spiraling out of control. While you're singing, only the good die young, and the young who are into the drugs and alcohol are the ones dying early. Job 15 says, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. It shall be accomplished before his time. You know what God said? Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Psalm 55. My Bible says in verse 23, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Proverbs chapter number 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. James chapter number 1 says, wherefore lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you just do what the Bible says, do you live a longer life? Genesis 38, the Bible says, Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. See, Psalm 90 says, the days of our years are 70. 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the fifth commandment. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And he says, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You wonder why so many young people are dying? Well, see what their relationship is with their parents. See if they respect or honor their parents. See if they obey their parents or not. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40 says, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. Listen, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. I mean, it's what God says. Do you believe God or do you believe the devil? Who are you taking your orders from? First Chronicles chapter number 10, the Bible says, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. You want to ask everybody about everybody's opinion or advice or counsel except God. 15-year-olds asking other 15-year-olds for godly wisdom and counsel. 12-year-old teenager, not even a teenager, asking, what do you think about life? Not having, never been married, never had kids, never had a family, never went through heartaches or burdens, and you're asking these young punks, what do you think I should do? And you wonder why they die early. You think it's an accident. It ain't no accident. God's word is true. You reject God, and God will reject you. 1 John 5:16 says, there's a sin that is unto death. There's a sin which is not unto death. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful how far you go. Like that song says, sin will take you farther than you thought. Sin will take you farther than you ever dreamed possible. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 that you can eat and drink damnation to yourself. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. The ones that you think have gone too far? The ones you think have hated God? The ones you think are no return? God said, preach the gospel to every creature. Psalm 116, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In 2 Kings chapter number 20, the Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick, nigh unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, Hezekiah did, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And the Bible says, Hezekiah wept sore. And in verse 4, the Bible says, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. Do you understand what I just read? God tells the preacher Isaiah to go tell Hezekiah that you're about to die. Get your house in order. And instead of Isaiah checking out, he got on his face and begged God and pled before God and wept. And before the preacher could get out the building, God told Isaiah, turn around and go back and tell him I give him 15 more years. Don't tell me God can't do that with you. I refuse to believe it. Don't tell me God can't bless and turn the curse into a blessing. I read otherwise in the Word of God. Don't tell me you don't have the strength and the power. I have a God who has strength and power. My Bible says in Proverbs 31, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Look, if you know you're going to go, you're in a coma or you got cancer and you're about to give them morphine, give them all they want, man. But that's when you give it to them. Not when you're 15 or 20 or 30 or 40. Not when you're in good health. Not when you have the rest of your life in front of you. What should a Christian do? 10 points. Number one, share the gospel with everyone. Jesus said the truth will make you free. From the bondage of sin and from yourself. You're supposed to share the gospel with everybody. Number two, encourage them to do right. In other words, get to a good Bible-believing, King James only Baptist church. Tell them to follow the Lord in baptism, fellowship, Bible reading, prayer, singing, the work of God. Tell them to get involved. Number three, realize people are having a very hard time. This is for God's people. What a Christian should do. Number four, love people. Be kind. Be merciful. Be forgiving. Number five, be patient while people go through hard times. Number six, have a consistent time of prayer for people God has put into your life. Number seven, understand that some people openly display their emotions while others do not at all. Number eight, you do not know what everyone is thinking about. Number nine, God can use everyone. Number 10, it'll be too late when someone dies to reach them. It's final, but it's their beginning, and you don't know when they're going to die. 10 points, the reasons why people commit suicide. Number one, pride. Their ego. They are full of themselves. Number two, selfishness. They care more about themselves than others. Oh, my boyfriend left me. My girlfriend left me. Can you imagine a teenager ruining their entire future because of a stupid boyfriend or a girlfriend? How idiotic, how stupid is that? Number three, they cannot deal with reality. They're spoiled. They've been given too much. They're undisciplined. And usually they're not poor people, as I mentioned before. Number four, my Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin, alcohol, drugs, crime, disobeying God, disobeying your parents, you're going to spiral out of control. Number five, carelessness, not caring. They didn't think everything they were doing had consequences. They didn't think everything they were doing had repercussions or a ripple effect. Number six, they had no foresight, no insight. They didn't think sin would take them where it has taken them captive. They couldn't think ahead. They couldn't plan ahead. They think they were strong enough or smart enough to handle everything. Number seven, there's a reason why people commit suicide. Allowing their mind to go there because of alcohol, because of drugs, because of emotions, because of anger, because of wrath, because of carelessness or heartaches or burdens or tragedies or relationships or even their diet. Let me tell you something. Some of you are on a slow suicide because you don't care what you eat. And you're cutting short your life. It's the same thing as a slow suicide, ladies and gentlemen. You might as well drink some strychnine every single day. You might as well drink some poison every single day. You don't care what you drink. You don't care what you eat. You're just putting poison in your body. I can't stop. Okay, well, this applies to you too then. Number eight, this is why people commit suicide, the reasons. They do not believe there is any hope to ever recover from their present state and mindset. But the Bible says Abraham hoped against hope. When all hope is gone, we still have Jesus, amen? When everybody walks out the door, Jesus will still be waiting for you. When you lose everything, that's exactly how you came into the world, with nothing. Number nine, people will always remember what they said or done. There's a reason why people commit suicide. People will always remember what that person has said or what they've done. They think, oh, man, I'll never get over this. This is what everybody's going to think about me. I've done something. I said something. I stole or I did something evil. And they're going to think in their mind, this is why people commit suicide. Everybody will always remember for what I've done. They'll remember worse, more, when you commit suicide. They'll say that you were a coward. They say you were selfish. They'll say that you were a quitter. And they were right. Number 10, the reasons why people commit suicide. They do not believe God and his word about life, death, and eternity. They believe Satan's lies. 13 reasons people are contemplating suicide and why someone should not commit suicide. Number one, it is the most treasonous thing a person can do to God and others. Number two, they will leave behind family, friends, and others who will forever be devastated and brokenhearted. Number three, they will leave behind an evil and wicked name as a quitter and make it easier for others to do the same. Number four, all the good that they may have done in the past will be wiped out with their last act of treason. Number five, It is the most selfish thing a person can ever do. They care more about themselves than others. These are what people are contemplating suicide. The people who are contemplating suicide and why someone should not commit suicide, pay attention. Number six, their pride, their ego will not allow them to humble themselves before God and man. Number seven, they believe they have embarrassed themselves shamefully to the point of no return. Number nine, always make decisions based on the King James Bible, not on your thought process. Number 10, God can use them and bless them to be a help to people that they know and people that they do not know. You don't know who you're going to meet in 5 or 10 years from now that you never met before, that know nothing about your background, nothing about your past history, that you'll be able to be a blessing to about a year or two or three from now. But you can't see that. God sees that. And Satan doesn't want you to see that. So he thinks you're all washed up, you're all gone, you can't do anything right anymore. You know why? That's because you've been missing church too much. Yeah, you do. You don't think Wednesday night's important to come. You don't think Sunday night's important to come. You don't think the adult Bible study's important to come. And we just come once in a while, once every 2 or 3 weeks on a Sunday morning sermon. But you've been listening to the devil's lies nonstop all week long. I got 1 hour on a Sunday morning to try to persuade you to do what's right. If you come one time on a Sunday morning. Number 11, God can turn the curse into a blessing. Number 12, if they are breathing and conscious, it is never too late to do right. Number 13, they need to humble themselves and ask God for mercy, forgiveness, and wisdom. On average, every day, 121 Americans will die from suicide. In 2015, over 44,000 Americans died from suicide. Suicide among males is 4 times more than females. Firearms are used in suicides more than anything else, about 50% of the time. Sodomite and queer children are 3 times more likely to attempt suicide. Black, Hispanic, Native American, and Asian sodomite queers have a much higher rate of attempted suicide. 41% of transgender sodomite queers have attempted suicide. They don't tell you this in the news. You know why? Because their minds are messed up. You go ahead and disobey God and your mind's going to be messed up. You're going to spiral out of control. Then you're going to hate the preacher for preaching the truth. In 2015, 70% of all suicides were white males. The rate of suicide is highest in middle age, white men in particular. Female attempt suicides 3 times more often than males. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Did you read that? You don't know what your neighbor's going through. You have no idea why what your coworker is going through. You don't have no idea what somebody in church is going through. I mean, you may hear a little bit, you may know a little bit, but you have no idea what they're thinking, what they're contemplating. You don't know what their mind's like. You don't know what their heart's like. And so we flippantly do and say things to hurt people nonchalantly. And God says, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. People are fighting themselves. They're fighting God. If God peradventure will give them repentance, watch this, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So God gives us the burden. God gives us the unction. God gives us the directive to reach people before it's too late. They're caught in the snare, the trap of Satan. and they think they're in that snare, and they think it's all over, and we're supposed to get there and say, no, it ain't over, because Jesus is here. You may be wounded, but it ain't over. You may be hurting, but it ain't over. You may be devastated, but it ain't over. But we sit home and watch the idiot box. We go to work, talk about the weather, talk about sports. We'll talk about everything under the sun, except sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. I'll close with this. Ezekiel 33. You know what God said? Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Why do you want to die before your time? Ezekiel 33. Just telling you what God said. Verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why would a person choose death instead of life? Because they've been listening to the devil's crowd too long. Why would they believe the devil's lies instead of Jesus' truth? Because they've been hanging around the devil's crowd too long. The thing's all gone. It's all over. I messed up. Well, guess what? Everybody's messed up. Yep, everybody's falling flat on their face. Everybody, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some more, some less, but all of us are guilty, ladies and gentlemen. But for the grace of God, we'd all be in the same boat. But for the grace of God, we'd all be dead. But for the grace of God, we'd be burning in hell. But for the grace of God, our minds would be as warped as all those people who have checked out early, who believe the devil's lies. As the song was sung today, special singing, sung by the grace of God. Marvelous grace, only by the grace of God. You know what people need? The grace of God. You know what people need? The mercy of God. They need to know it's not over yet. Don't believe the devil's lie. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care what you've done. It ain't over. Don't check out. You know what God said? Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, it is only by thy grace that we're in the house of God today. It is only by thy grace that we are assembled here as thy people, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only by thy grace that we have been far removed from where we have been. It is only by thy grace that we have any kind of sanity left, any love for thee and others left. Nothing that we can boast about, nothing that we can brag about, but all because of thy grace and all because of thy mercy. And Lord, there's people hurting today, and they're suffering emotionally, in their minds, their hearts, and they think there's no way out. And Lord, it's up to us to share the gospel with folks, to tell them that we have a resurrected Savior who has been resurrected from the dead, that can resurrect their life and their mind and their heart and their soul and their dreams and their hopes. Oh, dear God, help us never to shirk our responsibility of sharing the gospel. Because once somebody dies, it'll be too late to reach them. They have now started their eternity. Oh, dear God, please bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.